Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B. Talking in the pre-show about some more youth sports stuff, all-star season, and just having a different mix of like when we grew up versus getting kids interested now. And I think they lost some of the, like the romance of the game. Like I remember growing up and like having the Sandlot movie, it was a big deal, right? You had everything in the movie, like kids doing kid things, like chewing tobacco or whatever. Hitting on babes, right? Like that was like a big part of the movie. It had nothing to do with baseball, but like baseball was around it. Having like adventures with your friends, like based around baseball. And now I feel like it's like, oh, that's a lot of work to like go outside when like they were playing outside because there was like nothing else for them to do. Right. Even though one kid was a nerd and they tried to make like the nerdy stuff, like the only thing that good came out of the nerds were when the ball was stuck and the nerd stuff never worked. Right. Like that's like the moral of the movie. It's like the nerd stuff's not going to help you out. At some point, you're just going to have to go out sometimes and do the hard work yourself. Like Benny has to jump the fence or whatever he does, has to pickle the beast. People should know the reference if you're a sports fan. I know this is more of a football podcast, but that's like the inner line of that movie. It's like, yeah, you can have all the nerd stuff and all these analytics and crap. And it's like pre- Moneyball stuff, so not so much analytics, but at that point now kids are more into like the nerd stuff, right? They're not gonna want to go outside. If it's hot, yeah. They have AC, they're gonna stay inside. They're not gonna go for a swim at the pool with their buddies, right? And go check out lifeguards. it's like the middle of the movie, isn't it? Like I can't remember I haven't watched it in such a long time, I feel like. But I feel like I probably have most of that movie memorized still if I watch it again. I remember at one point we were watching it in French, I think, because we knew the whole movie. And then we would learn like phrases from the movie in French. It's like, all right, when you're putting each other down in French because of like the insult scene, it's like maybe your parents shouldn't be letting you watch this DVD or whatever it was. Because the VHS we had, I feel like we had every copy of it. It had a VHS. That didn't have it. When the DVD comes out, it had the language tracks. So it's like, do I really want to watch this again? Let's just pop it in French so it's not as annoying. And then after watching it 100 times in French, you're like speaking French with your brothers like around the house.
Like a bunch of Canadians.
Well, that's what, like, I will never like remember any of it off the top of my head, but like if I was like out, like if I ever traveled to Canada and someone came up and was speaking French and I just understood him, I'd be like, oh my God, we are speaking the exact words that were used in the Sandlot movie. I know exactly what these words are. But I don't know. I feel like if you want to hear more of our argument, go to southboundsports.com. You can sign up for the Patreon. We have the extended show. Doing this a day early this week. Getting into some more off-season stuff. So, football's coming up. Do you have anything you want to add about youth sport leagues?
Just as a general tip, you know, I think being mindful of your cell phone provider and making sure that you have current cell phone numbers provided is a helpful thing. Because a lot of times, you know, as we're getting into some of these, communication has become a lot easier in this technology age, but I think it can also present with some challenges. And I was just hearing a story recently from another coach about how a parent was trying to tee off on about not knowing anything about dates for when stuff's happening. And on the registration form, they gave a number that they weren't using anymore. I was like, well, whose fault is that?
I know. That's where actually what our league's done here started to do was use like an app instead, like a coaching app. And I think I have like three different ones at this point. But it is a good way if people are like changing numbers or whatever, where if you give them an app that's also a website, there's multiple ways for them to get it, where they can put it in email or a text if you really want to get the option. And I think a lot of leagues are probably doing that. Unfortunately, like you can't remember because like classrooms have different apps like that. Coaching ones have it. But sometimes it's like I'm getting notifications for like older football stuff and things like that. And it's just, you wish that there was a way to only get the relevant notifications when you're part of a bigger league like that. But I'd rather have the knowledge than not have it at all, I think, right? But
absolutely.
The one thing that I wanted to add is that a lot of kids are being like pushed into like getting the scholarship type deal for like, oh yeah, you can get so-and-so sport. You're out there playing. And like, I hear kids down here, like playing lacrosse, getting pushed into like lacrosse and stuff. Cause they might have that opportunity, but you're playing against like a sport that maybe not that many people play, but still trying to earn a scholarship is going to be tough. Because not every school has that with like scholarship opportunities compared to something like, I think probably basketball, maybe baseball still would have like the most opportunities, I would think. A lot of smaller schools just don't have football, right? And like, yeah. I feel like a lot of D3 and even like community colleges and things, they all have basketball. Maybe baseball, I would say basketball would be number one, just because it's like the easiest for a school to provide. They just have a gym, right? Baseball is like a little bit harder because like you need a ground crew for that. And some schools just don't have it. I know a lot of schools like use like a local high school. I've seen some community colleges and stuff that like have the school built right by the high school. And if you're really trying to get the best bang for the buck, even if you don't know if you want to play at a big time college, playing like the JUCO route is a pretty legit deal, right? Especially if you're from a school where you don't have any connections or have any scouts coming, go play a year or two there and see if you get that interest. And if not, you get a lot of the basic exploratory classes out of the way for free anyway. Right? Because I know they don't like provide a scholarship per se, but they will like just knock off parts of the tuition or whatever if you're involved. But I guess it kind of depends on like what the schools are or whatever. Some of them you have to pay your own way. And I think that's going to continue with NIL, because I think the NIL stuff's going to take away opportunities from some of the smaller schools. Because unless they're getting bankrolled by big donors, or like local businesses that are putting out ads and they want to use like local athletes or whatever, I think some of that's going to kind of go.
Yeah.
But I mean, the only thing I was going to mention with that is like Sankey, the SEC commissioner, I think is what he is. He was in he went up for like Congress again, or he's like telling them that they need to get involved for the NIL stuff. And if my feeling is, there's already tiers where D1, you have to offer so many scholarships because of Title IX. D2, it's a lesser number. And then D3, it's even smaller, or you can't provide scholarships or something like that. You have to do other need-based aid. And having that as like a tiered system with NIL, that kind of goes away at some point, right? So like for me, it probably would have been better with me playing. Because you have someone that can like go out and like do whatever, you might be able to get some NILs. I wasn't afraid. Like during like fundraising stuff, we would go out and try to get fundraising stuff started. I even tried it in high school and got in trouble because they were like, "You can't be doing that." It's like, why not? Like, why can't you? If you're doing like a car wash or whatever to raise funds, why can't you just be a couple of go-getters and go like start stuff yourself? You know, but has to go through the school. So now with like NIL stuff, I feel like the school can set it up. Throw any idea on the table if you're a smaller school, like get some ideas out there and see what you can get done. especially if the kids get a cut of it, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to give, maybe not so much expand recruiting for a school, but I think that's going to raise the reputation, like, locally. I feel like whatever, and this is like nationwide, whatever the local school is, gets a bad rap by the local like high schools around it. Like whatever the college is closest, people don't want to go there because it's too close to home, right? But if they see their buddies going there and getting NIL money, then they're going to want to go there. Unless, like, you're growing up near, like, Harvard or something, or, like, one of the D1 schools, probably. People aren't going to grow up and be, like, around it. But I think a lot of the smaller schools, people grew up there, they're like, yeah, I don't really want to go there. I'll go to a similar school 100 miles away. It's like, oh. Is that, like, West Virginia's version of the same school, or, like, Virginia's version of the same school? But that's my stuff. The NIL stuff came up again. And I see youth sports and I hear parents talking about it and, like, kids trying to, like, hey, we're quitting the youth team because we're going to go work out at so-and-so training place and really try to push for a scholarship. And it's like, all right, hope it works out since you're, like, changing your family dynamic for something, right? That you don't know if it's going to work out or not. And I feel like if you're pushing a kid so hard, is that where the resentment comes in? What if they get into college and they hate the sport at that point?
Well, I think you see that a good bit because they just grow tired of being pushed and it just causes people to fizzle out.
Well, even now, it's like the Northwestern thing we talked about last week. I know I was over the top with it. It's off season. If I want to joke around, I want to joke around because to me, the response is a joke itself. That's kind of the satire parody stuff of it. And the administration doesn't care, right? They hired the same coaches. Didn't they just bring everybody back and name an interim that's been there?
Yeah, the defense.
Oh, yeah, that's a great vote of confidence to a change of culture. Bring the same guys back. Awesome. If I was a student there, I'd be putting in my transfer immediately. And like I said, the timing was suspicious as hell because the Big Ten media days are coming up. They did the announcement where they did try to bury it 4th of July week. Then they tried to keep the coach. Then they fired him, kept the other coaches. But now the players are in such a position because training camp starts in like a month or whatever. Not even, right? It's less than.
Yeah.
That they can't just transfer. Who's going to take them? Like, even players that, like, might want to transfer to, like, Colorado or something, where Deion's going through players left and right, you're still taking a hell of a gamble because if he doesn't want you, and you already put in your transfer and you're coming back, it's the same coaches. They know you. They can just blackball you. Like, I would have zero confidence in the coaches coming back. Northwestern sucked ass. They were like, what? They've been winning one or three games a year? Like, they've been awful. There's zero way that you can say, hey, like, we're going to bring these same guys back. And I know that they're in the same predicament because the timing worked out against them. They probably thought they had it all planned out where they could just sneak this report in. But Northwestern was not a good football team. You can't tell me that you can't just find a coach in retirement and try to wheel them out right now. That's what they should have done. Doesn't matter. I know, like, it reminds me of, like, Barry Alvarez coming back at, like, Wisconsin to do their bowl game or whatever. Northwestern, you guys were so bad. Why would you want the same coaches back when the program has a black eye? Now the players are kind of banding together, the ones that said they were abused. And it's probably not all of them. They're trying to put together, like, a lawsuit. So this isn't going away. This isn't going away.
Well, these guys are putting together the lawsuit. Aren't they the same ones that were filing the grievances about NCAA, too?
Yeah, it was they've done in a couple other lawsuits. So I'm pretty sure they could just jump on it, and they probably wait. This is probably, like, their like, holiday, right? They're, like, wait for the payday to come in. And they're like, we got them, boys. Another school goofed up. I think it was, like, the one that was tied to the Ohio State lawsuit for their doctor thing, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, but the Northwestern thing, like, he ruined everything for me. Like, the playing it at the pool with, like, the kids, they're like, hey, we should play this so-and-so game. And, like, someone's like, yeah, car wash. I'm like, there's no way. I immediately, like, dropped my pants, got booted out of the pool. I'm never allowed back now. It's like, Northwestern, what the hell? I thought that's what we were playing, guys. Just embarrassing all around, their response. It's kind of like the Big Ten thing. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to do the response. It's going to be wrong. And I just don't get it. Like, if I'm a Northwestern fan, I'm glad. And hopefully that wasn't a rumor of, like, their renovations on their football field stopping. Maybe they'll just quit football and go the route of University of Chicago and just kind of drop sports. And the Big Ten will have another spot open to bring in another school for athletics, right? Then it can open up a spot for Clemson, Miami, and Florida State instead of just two or whatever the hell they would have. Let's get into NFL, though, because I'm in a predicament here, Matt. Hopkins signs with the Titans. I had already decided that I need to cut ties with my boy Derrick Henry because he led me to the championship last year with Eckler. Eckler seems to be the better keeper. And then they sign Hopkins, which makes it an intriguing move because of how good he is as a wide receiver. Now things are going to open up a little bit more, where if you watch the Titans last year, it's like almost Gronk-esque, where whenever Gronk would catch a ball, the NFL would just let defenders just like jam in the knee, right? It was like uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
It's like anybody else, you guys are throwing a flag, but because it's Gronk, and I think the NFL like kind of didn't like his antics. He was getting jammed up and like limping around all the time. Derrick Henry, it was like everyone's just gang tackling him, jumping on him, like 100 guys hitting him at one time. And the Titans were like, we have no other offense, so we just have to keep shoving him the ball up the middle. And so like not having anything else just really hurt him down the stretch. And I don't even know, did he even finish the year? Maybe he didn't even play in the playoffs for me. All I know is my boy Eckler got the job done, and I'm still happy about him. So I'm probably going to use my keeper on him. But having Hopkins, I'm not going to lie, I think a lot of Derrick Henry owners out there are going to be pretty happy this year just because of how he can stretch the field and keep things open, right? Having that type of player, I didn't realize they had other attrition at the wide receiver spot, though, because right now I looked at their current depth chart. I didn't see another standout wide receiver, so maybe it won't make as big of an impact. What do you think?
I think the big thing is trying to keep him healthy because the last couple of years he's missed time due to injury, and I think that's been a thing that's kind of held him back. Because when he plays, I mean, he's obviously a really great player and has done well in the league, but it's just keeping him consistently healthy. There always seems to be some kind of nagging injury. And it's, you know, almost in that mold of like a Julio Jones where he was really good for a long time. And then just over the years, just kind of faded out.
Well, that's where they have Treylon Burks, who'll be in his second year. That's who they're really relying on to be that second option behind Hopkins. And to me, I just don't know. Like, Hopkins has such a good ability. Like you said, he has to stay healthy, though. I just don't know, like, if it's going to be enough for that offense. The offense that Tennessee runs is kind of like a weird old school. They're like the most Michigan-like offense, like with Harbaugh, right? Where they're going to play like smash mouth. It's nothing going to be crazy. The other teams aren't really going to stop it. I think that's why you hear a lot of stuff about like Vrabel leaving to go to Ohio State, right? That's like a wet dream of some of the Ohio State fans because they see Ryan Day running like his spread offense and Michigan just plowing through it the last 2 years. Where if that happens again, they're all going to want Vrabel to come. And could you imagine that game? It'd be like 6-3. Vrabel versus Harbaugh. Both have quarterbacks that, like, it seems like they're developing them, but then as the years go on, they get worse as quarterbacks for both coaches, right? I mean, Harbaugh in the NFL was unstoppable with quarterbacks. He's like pulling rabbits out of hats. In college, it's almost like he's like, these are just kids. They don't understand. I don't know if it was like the offense is too complex for him, but like Vrabel's doing the same thing in the NFL where it's like every year the quarterback decision-making just gets worse and worse. And it's like, is it the coaching thing? Like realistically, you can't have not even the rookies coming in. They can't make any reads in this offense. And the offense should be simple. You're handing off to Derrick Henry and you're throwing it up to wide receivers on the outside, right? Like if they could only scheme a quick passing game to go with the running game, like they would probably win titles. Both coaches, I feel the same way. So it's like, all right, do something on offense. So maybe Henry can do that. Like they have to open up lanes for him though. I feel like they don't have the change of pace back though that they can mix up with. Maybe that's what they need.
Well, they do have Will Levis, and they have Malik Willis, and they have Tannehill. Maybe they just do more design quarterback run.
Maybe that's the option. They drafted Hassan Haskins, a running back from Michigan. He's like a pounding running back, so it's not like he's going to be catching balls out of the backfield and like going crazy. So that's what I want to see. What happens with the offensive play calling too? And unfortunately, it's not. We're not going to know that before fantasy drafts are due, right?
Yeah,
we're not going to know. But that's the most intriguing NFL story that has happened for a while, right? They're doing like the franchise tag stuff. Where, what did Derrick Henry, did he get the franchise tag? No. So Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs have not signed their franchise tag stuff. They're supposed to hold out. Tony Pollard signed his for the Cowboys. That's like what it's been. What Derrick Henry, he's like tweeting stuff about taking the running back out of it. That's why I think, I mean, there's so many of them where NFL scouts are saying, they're saying just franchise a running back one time and then get a new running back. But like, if you're in college, then why would you want to just be a running back, right? That's the intrigue with Michigan this year, because like Blake Corum came back. And Donovan Edwards is like the receiving running back. And I've seen some things mixed up where he might be like playing in the slot. And honestly, why not? Right? He already proved himself as a running back last year when he, with a broken hand, he destroyed Ohio State's dreams with those two long runs. So it's like, all right, if Corum's going to be the every down back, why not just play as a wide receiver and try to be more of like a flex type?
But it always cracks me up because like financially running backs really get knocked and they say, oh, you can just pull any seventh rounder out of the gutter and make them a Hall of Fame running back behind the line. Like everything's line oriented and scheme oriented, but I mean it's all fun and games until you're the team that doesn't have that running back. So I mean I do think to a certain extent like there is some knock on the running back position that you can kind of hide it in different ways, but at the end of the day I really think if you have a good running back, I mean that's, to me that's a game changer for your offense, because if you have that bell cow, I mean, you saw it with Marshawn Lynch. You see it with Derrick Henry. You see it with, you know, the hodgepodge of people that when it's go time, and you have that running back that can do it for you, it's a huge help to your offense.
And I feel like the running backs everyone talks about, maybe it's fantasy keeping them around, right? Because, like, a lot of running backs are the team. Like, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, until they got Hopkins anyway, right? Like, that was, like, the team.
Yeah.
So, like, having him go somewhere else, that was a big deal and a big worry enough for them to try to do the franchise tag. And so then they don't have to pay the large sum. But even then, I mean, honestly, compared to other positions, I know running backs take a lot of hit. Getting paid what would be a franchise tag, I think Henry's is like $16 million. Like, let's say you make $30 million over the course of your career. You only play for 3 or 4 years. I feel like your body's going to be a lot healthier long-term compared to, like, a player, like a tight end or someone taking hits for 20 years. But maybe I'm wrong. And they probably, a tight end wouldn't make as much money as a running back. Right. No. Unless you're, like, big time, like a flex wide receiver like Kelsey. But
then even at that, like, when you have a running back that, like, that was one of the issues that with Le'Veon Bell that got him in contract disputes with Pittsburgh was that they were trying to pay him at a running back scale. And he said, well, I catch passes out of the backfield. I should be paid higher at the wide receiver scale. And you start getting into those pissing matches, and it just, you're not going to win those with management.
And I mean, honestly, the Steelers running back situation hasn't been good since Le'Veon Bell, right?
Yeah.
You could say Najee Harris has been solid, but it's not as good as Le'Veon Bell. Nowhere near that. The offense has been, like, kind of bad. So, like, having any type of, like, running game like that that's groundbreaking, maybe it's worth it to pay for it. But it wasn't like he had won a Super Bowl. I feel like that's the other X factor for some of these running backs. A lot of the ones that are in the dispute, they haven't been groundbreaking enough to win a Super Bowl. Right?
Yeah.
And a running back really can't do it on its own. That's why the quarterbacks make the most money, because, like, Tom Brady can go to whatever team and win a Super Bowl. So it's like, okay, well, Tom Brady's the best. But you can't take the best running back like Barry Sanders. He can't win a title. They couldn't even win a playoff game, basically, right?
Yeah.
So at what point is that a value for your team? You need a lot more than just that. You need to be able to stretch the field. So that's my thoughts on it, you know? I feel like, yeah, of course the players want to get paid. They want to do that. Playing running back and then making rap videos or whatever seems to be, like, a pretty good career path. Is not what Le'Veon Bell did? He seems to be healthy, right? Compared to his other killer bee, Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown basically ruined his entire, like, life/career. Where Le'Veon Bell still seems to be okay. So, I'm not sure. Anything else, Jeff, for the NFL?
Well, when Le'Veon Bell came out and like apologized to the Steeler fan base, saying he never should have left Jets. I mean, and we had talked about it. Like, he was insane for trying to let, like, it was good on him that he was willing to sit out and try to test the market. I mean, I almost feel like the way that he went about it was very similar to Lamar Jackson, except it didn't work out for him. Where he bet on himself and leverage.
I think I'm losing you a bit. I think Le'Veon Bell was just a few years off. The Jets never came in and helped him out. Like, if Le'Veon Bell was going to the Jets this year, things would have been different. The Jets just kind of tried to build around Le'Veon Bell without having, like, the quarterback or anything in place. That's why it was bound to fail. He'd been better off looking for a better scenario and taking less money. Instead, he went where he was going to be the guy and killed his career. I don't know if that's a running back issue or not, though, going forward. I don't know. You back on? Yeah. You have anything else for the NFL?
No, that's it.
I did have one thing here before we get into the back around to college football stuff. What do you think of the 76ers? They're saying that Embiid wants to win a title and he's willing to leave Philly to do that.
I would be really frustrated if they lost him. But I mean, at the end of the day, they're whiffing on their window. I feel like they have a decent core. They're one or two players away from really being a championship contending team. I feel like I thought that they had it the year they let Butler go. I thought that the pieces were there, and then it went sideways on them. And bringing Harden in was like, well, maybe, like, I feel like you need that for as big of a presence as Embiid is. They need that outside shooting threat, almost like the way the Lakers worked with Shaq and Kobe. Like, they need that. They have the inside presence, but I think to balance it out, you'd really need to have that really good shooting presence on the outside that they don't consistently have. And if they can get that, I think they could win a championship in Philly. But if they can't get that sharpshooter to consistently knock down the three-pointers, then he may have to leave to win it.
That's how the Heat competed last year. Had Duncan Robinson and some other guys that were just able to hit threes while Butler was able to do his thing underneath. So I think in today's game, that's kind of what you need, unless like you have guys like LeBron that just power through. But what did you think of LeBron's thing where he went to that, was it ESPYs? I don't know. And I don't know why sports needs an award show, right? Movies don't even need an award show at this point. Everyone has reviews online. But like he went on and made a big deal about how he's coming back. It's like, could you imagine like how much attention you need to make announcements like that when we didn't even say that you were considering retirement first? It's like, I guess if he could have had more attention, if he said, hey, I'm going to take some time, I might retire. And then at the ESPYs, he said he came back. But they were saying like he never even hinted that he was going to retire. So his announcement was like kind of odd, but like ESPN was ready to run with it. Like they had stories written. So I wonder if like LeBron's guys tipped them off that he was going to make it. It's like all a big weird thing with him all the time. I feel like he'll be like a Michael Jordan. I almost said Michael Jackson. He'll like own a team and it'll be a failure because like, well, they can't control everything. Right.
I agree. And I think you see that with so many of his extra things that he's trying to do. It's like, he's trying to have a hand in everything. But he needs to just focus on being the best player he could be and not get himself distracted.
He'll be an owner. He'll come out of retirement like Jordan did, try to win the team.
Oh, 100%. And, I mean, he said for years and that he wants to potentially play it with his son. Like, he's willing to hang on. Like, he's said that for a long time now.
But isn't he coming in? That's why I thought he would just automatically back. Like, isn't his son coming in this year or next year?
It's relatively soon. I don't think it's this year.
I guess he just had the draft. I guess we would have known because that would have been all over.
You would have had a nonstop news cycle.
Yeah, so I guess it's this year, right? Because there was already articles about how the Knicks are favored to pick him. So, but like I said, if LeBron wants to really be that guy, he should just go play with his son and try to win a title with another team. Winning another one with the Lakers at this point is going to be kind of like an eh, no one cares, right? Because like you went to the biggest franchises that were already successful before you. The only one that won that hadn't won was Cleveland. And then he left again, which soured that entire thing. If he wins one with the Knicks, that's like another unbelievable thing. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, selfishly, I could say like, oh, you should come play for the Celtics because then like maybe he'd win one. But like, honestly, he should go to another tortured team like the Knicks or the Sixers and try to win a title. If, like, if he went to the Bulls and tried to be like a Jordan, like, no one would really care. Right? I mean, the Bulls haven't won since Jordan, have they? I don't think so.
No.
But, like, even, like, going to, like, the Pistons or someone that's kind of won semi-recently, even though they've been bad. Like, no, go to a team that's been, like, historically close, like the Knicks or the Sixers, that haven't won, at least in my lifetime, I don't think, and get it done there. Or did the Knicks win one? No, they lost to Hakeem, didn't they? Ewing?
Yes.
I can't remember how that Space Jam movie ended, right? The Monstars came out and took the title away from Ewing. It's like, LeBron could really come full circle. Bring Patrick Ewing back for Space Jam 3, and they do like a Knicks title run. But yeah, let's get into college football now. The big news come out with Tennessee, the Volunteers, where they came out and what were paying like thousands of dollars out of, was it Pruitt? See the coach at the time, I think.
Yeah.
Him and his wife were directly paying recruits. And so they didn't give them like the death penalty, which any other team, like, honestly, they took the wins away. It was 11 wins, Matt, over 2 years. So what, they go like 5 wins each year? 5 and 6? 5 wins and then 6 wins the next year?
Yeah.
I mean, Michigan had more wins than that last year. Like, when Notre Dame had their wins vacated, they went undefeated. Like, if you're going to be paying, at least have the wins to go with it. That's like an embarrassing number of wins to get vacated over a multi-year period, I thought. Like, even Northwestern would have more than that, right? Because didn't they win the Big Ten West? They had 3, and then I think they would have been, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought they would have at least had 11, right? And they were bad.
Yeah.
Over a two-year period, the last 2 years. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of 3 years ago. Oh, no, because Michigan won the last two. They didn't beat Northwestern, so it would have been 3 years ago. So I'm going to be wrong on that. But I will say with this, with the NIL stuff, I know this is before NIL or whatever. No one cares. I don't care about the bowl ban either, because my theory is Tennessee could have been close last year to make the playoffs. I think for the sport to continue to grow, we need new teams in the playoffs. I know Tennessee is considered like a blue blood. They would have been top 10 wins all time, and this kicked them out of the top 10 list. Did you know that?
No.
So I don't know if Wikipedia is updated, but I read an article about how, like, when they take the wins away, this one, what the heck? They're saying this isn't secure of a website? Did someone take over Wikipedia? Let's go. Oh, it looks like the certificate's out of date or something. Let's go to the rankings all time here. So the all-time wins, you have Michigan, Bama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Texas, Oklahoma, Penn State, Nebraska, Georgia, Tennessee. This will put them below USC, supposedly. So it looks like this isn't up to date. They would still be ahead of LSU, so Tennessee would then be 11. Unless this is up to date and they're both tied now? No, this can't be. Because then they would have been ahead of Georgia, because Georgia's only ahead by 1 right now. So for Tennessee to fall out of the top 10, I think they said they were 10th. It looks like they were tied with 10th for 10th with USC. So they'll fall out. Not a real big deal because USC's in there, but I guess if we're counting conference powers, getting USC in there is pretty good for the Big Ten, right? Funnily enough, it's going to be pretty evenly split until Notre Dame's in there, because Notre Dame would give the Big Ten a 6th team if USC's in the top 10 instead of Tennessee. If Tennessee jumps back in, it would be 5-5, because Texas and Oklahoma give the SEC 5 teams top 10 wins all time. There's no other conference that's even close to the list. The winning percentage thing's kind of skewed to look at because of like newer teams like Boise State being in the middle of it. but I would say that it's pretty similar. It's all pretty much the same team. The only team that's close winning percentage wise that doesn't have enough wins just because of the history would be Florida State, right? I would consider them better than like a Boise State just because of the national titles in their history. Some of the other ones like Florida and Miami, but I also saw a thing where, I guess I'll save this for a little bit. I'll probably forget about it, but the Tennessee thing to me, we're in a new era. Everyone's going to be doing NIL stuff. I don't know why the NCAA is still even investigating this old stuff, right? I feel like they should be taking their time, not wasting it, but they should be taking their time and putting together new regulations to try to get teams to compete in the new playoff era for college football and other sports. Because with the NIL stuff, they're like letting it go. And I feel like what's going to happen? Are they going to hit Texas in 5 years because of all their car shenanigans, right? And then it's going to be a state legal battle against the NCAA. So I kind of agree where the SEC commissioner is like, look, we let Texas in. They're already annoying us. We should have listened to the Big 12. Like, everyone hated those guys. Like, the Big 10, like, back in the day, the Big 10 could have had Texas join pretty much when the Big 12 was formed, right? One of the guys, I think it was the Big 10 old commissioner, Jim Delaney, he said that if the Big 10 never added Penn State and the Big East had voted them in instead of voting them no, then he doesn't think conferences would ever have really changed. But because ESPN, which was behind the whole thing with Big 10 or Big East basketball, right? Where if they had never voted against Penn State joining their little conference, they never would have joined the Big 10 and football never would have really taken over. Because you would have had a conference on the East with Miami that was good, Virginia Tech, Pitt, Notre Dame in football at the time anyway, and Penn State. That would have been it. Like, a lot of those schools, actually, I think I read a report that said every Big East program has fallen off since the Big East turned basketball only. West Virginia took a dive. I think they said the only one that really might not have fallen as hard is Pitt. Which is funny, right? Because, like, Miami hasn't won anything. Virginia Tech's completely dead. Virginia and the Big 12, or West Virginia, the Big 12 is like doing nothing. Pitt's the only one that's like winning the ACC, even though it's like not as much, but they really weren't winning the Big East either. So they've kind of just stayed the same. Because I think that when they won their national championships in the 80s, Pitt was still independent, correct?
Yeah.
Because, like, so some additional background, because we're going way back into a deep dive. I don't know if a lot of people even know this. I'm going to look it up to try to get the exact dates. So, in the, like, the
80.
In the 70s, I think was it 80 or 82? 82 might have been Georgia. So, way back, like, in the 70s and 80s, there was that TV deal, right, where the NCAA had a lawsuit come against them from like Oklahoma or something, right? Where I think it was Oklahoma NCAA TV lawsuit. I'm gonna look that up real quick just to make sure it was Oklahoma. But in the 80s, a lot of teams were independent, and so they couldn't have it. Yeah, it was Oklahoma in 1984. So I think I saw a thing where Oklahoma was supposed to be the big NBC school, right? But for whatever reason, they kind of turned it down, and Notre Dame kind of took that and ran with it, which would have been kind of changing history, right? Because Notre Dame was still trying to get into the Big Ten around this time. The Big Ten kind of was like voting them no, which they probably regret. So the Big East, like back in the 80s, a lot of teams that were independent then, they started to look for a conference thinking that they could get on TV more. Because, like, let's be honest, you're not going to play a big-time game every week. We see it with the schedules now. So the only time you could be on TV was like once a year. You're only going to get paid like once a year, really, because there wasn't that many channels. So around like 1979, it said that this founded with the original schools, which was Boston College, Connecticut, Georgetown, Providence, St. John's, Seton Hall, Syracuse. Villanova joined in 80. Pitt came on in 82. Around that time, a lot of schools, they wanted to do like a football wing. Well, they didn't want Penn State in it. So in 91, when Miami, Rutgers, West Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Temple all joined, they didn't let Penn State in or whatever, for whatever reason. I don't know if Pitt told them not to vote them in or what. They weren't good at basketball, Penn State was. So that was kind of the reasoning behind it. Boom. Penn State goes to the Big Ten. All of those schools in the Big East, they eventually put Notre Dame in 95. They kick Temple out, right? They kick Temple out eventually for being non-competitive. So could you imagine if they would have taken Penn State Penn State instead of Temple? Or heck, would Temple have even been relevant if they took all three? Maybe having Penn State in the conference would have elevated Temple's game, right? Because you had Pitt and West Virginia rivalry, which might have stayed the top for both of those teams, and you might have had a Temple-Penn State rivalry on the other side of the state, right? Because Penn State was really hammering New Jersey at the time. Maybe they would have had a rivalry with Rutgers. I don't know. But because of that, it kind of shifted the power. The Big East was good when Miami was hot. And then all of those schools kind of jumped to the ACC because of the football stuff. They said that the Big East was focused more on basketball. They knew football made more money at that time, around like 2000 or whatever. It took like 10 years or so. But a lot of the other football conferences were kind of making money. Notre Dame was trying to get into the Big Ten. Texas said that they might be interested in joining the Big Ten, but they went ahead and formed the Big 12 instead. And then they annoyed most of their conference mates, where Colorado, Missouri, they're all jumping ship, right? Nebraska, nobody wanted to be in a conference with Texas. So I think it's funny that they joined the SEC and the commissioner is pretty much already openly complaining about Texas being in the conference. Maybe slightly less A&M, right? With Petrino and your boy Jimbo, their little get together. But the Texas thing, when they're like buying recruits cars and stuff over the top, just has to just be annoying for Nick Saban and them, right?
Yeah, I think that it probably is, but it's just, they're trying to do whatever they can to, like, on one hand, you tip your cap to A&M because they're trying to get the players on campus to be competitive on this national stage. And I feel like Jimbo Fisher, for all of his flaws, he's had a great pulse on the direction that college football is going in and uses it somewhat to his advantage. I mean, he hasn't capitalized at A&M, but he definitely hit his stride at Florida State and was able to win a national championship there.
Well, we don't have to talk about the Florida State part. We're talking about him being at A&M, Matt. You don't have to live in the past.
Oh, really? Michigan?
Matt, I don't know if last year was the past, but two Big Ten championships in a row. I don't know. Were your kids alive when Florida State won an ACC championship?
Oh, my goodness. So you finally crawled out for the doorstep of the last 8 years.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just asking. Your kids are getting kind of old. Have they ever seen Florida State win anything? That's a legit question, Matt.
They saw him win a bowl game against Oklahoma.
A bowl game. Come on. Oklahoma probably had all their guys sit out.
New Year's 6.
I did see the thing from the Syracuse thing with Joe Paterno. He was the one that really wanted it. So do you think that would have soured some of the Big East football if that had happened? Like if that scandal were to hit? Or maybe it wouldn't even have mattered as big, right?
I don't think it would have hit. I definitely think, you know, for some of your arguments about regionalizing sports, I think adding Penn State would have been good for the rivalry. It would have been good for the Pitt Penn State rivalry. It would have been good for the local markets.
I'm just thinking now in terms of like the playoffs itself, where Penn State's in the Big Ten. But if they were doing like a basketball type thing, and they had like multiple conferences, like let's say there were still like eight conferences or so, because I think at that point you would have had the Big 12, the Pac 10 or whatever, the Big 10, the Big East, the ACC, the SEC. That's six. Maybe two more, like two at large bids, but having like that type of thing. Because like, what was the other one? Was it the Conference USA? Whatever one had like East Carolina back then, that was kind of hot for a while, and Cincinnati, and like a lot of those schools that ended up getting Louisville. Then they like they're in another conference first.
AAC.
So like, if that conference still existed, maybe you do have like seven or eight, and then in the tournament, like in like an NCAA football bracket, you have like eight or maybe 16 teams come in, having like a regional matchup where like Penn State wins the Big East, or maybe they come in second and they play like the Big Ten, Michigan or Ohio State. Like, you would still have a heated thing, even though they weren't in the same conference. Same with like Miami coming in. Maybe they would be paired up a lot of times in the playoffs against Florida State, having like the Big East versus ACC playoff game. Kind of like the basketball tournament kind of does it, where it seems like, oh yeah, certain schools kind of always match up in like the regionals or whatever, just because of like the location, the way they do it. I feel like football could have had that and still kept some of the magic alive just because of the way they split. Like a Notre Dame Big East coming in, playing Michigan from the Big Ten in the playoffs, I think would be a hell of a big time matchup, considering it's a rivalry that's not played all the time. Be big time. Same with like what would have been some of the other ones, like I guess having, oh man, it's so different thinking back about it, because like Nebraska would have been in there, and like they would have been playing what, like I don't know, maybe Iowa or something. Like having like a team, the team that's kind of close, I mean, maybe they wouldn't even have had history at that point though, because the different conferences. I think it kind of really just matches up more on the Big East side of things, but maybe that's because I grew up in Pennsylvania. And so hearing and seeing a lot of those rivalries means more to me than someone from the South or something. I don't know. But that's a little bit more into it. I think that the conference thing, we're going to hear more about it when the 12-team playoffs hit. If they keep expanding at some point, does it matter? Like, as long as they don't break away, I think I'm still in on college football. If they try to just make the Big Ten and the SEC play each other, I'm probably not going to care as much, honestly, but right?
That's kind of a direction that they're going, that they're heading in anyhow.
I don't know. The way the states are kind of in this, like, I really don't think they're going to leave their smaller conference mates or non-conference mates behind. Because, like, even the Cal system was kind of annoyed that UCLA was going to the Big Ten. And they're predicting that eventually UCLA is going to kind of drop back out and want to go back out west. And I mean, these things go on for how many years? They only have so many contracts. I mean, if they do split apart away from the NCAA, how does that work for other sports? Because like, if you don't have Stanford in, they put a lot of Olympians in the Olympics, right? So like half of their sports, if they're not playing in this NCAA, does that kill sports for Stanford? Because they're not going to get like the NIL or the TV deal for like a swimming type deal or whatever? Would they just start going to Texas or Michigan or some other school that has success in swimming or whatever sport you pick? Right? Just because they're in the bigger league? Does that happen? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because like, there are still so many schools, like I keep hearing about how Oregon and Washington don't deserve to be in because of the TV numbers. But like, oh, let's say that the Big Ten and the SEC broke away right now and they didn't include those states. Wouldn't that be kind of weird? Like, you don't have any Western states in except for two LA schools. And if they do join, they're only in the Big Ten. And why the hell is the name the Big Ten? Or are they just going to combine? Because, like, ESPN would have to be, like, what if ESPN implodes? because they keep I feel like they make cuts every year, right?
Yeah.
How are they going to keep funding this other super conference? Because right now they're butting heads. Having them merge into one might make it better for them to do TV deals, but then they also can't negotiate against each other. So I feel like you would have to just flatline, right? Maybe I'm wrong. I'd feel kind of bummed, like, if you never got a Pitt-Penn State game again, but you're locked in with Penn State-Rutgers? Or, like, Penn State-Vanderbilt? Like, it'd just be odd. West Virginia, like, they're just done? I feel like that would hurt their entire school. They join, like, a West Virginia, like, regional conference where it's, like, them, Marshall, and Pitt, and, like, a couple other schools? Do people... Because, like, if, honestly... Like that could be a scenario. If that happened, does the city of Pittsburgh just quit really paying attention? Like, I have a hard time believing that Pitt alums are just going to start cheering for Penn State in this new Super League, which it seems like is what the TV networks think will happen, right? Penn State would be the de facto state team, kind of like Ohio State. Everyone in Ohio cheers for Ohio State. I feel like it's been hundreds of years. People just aren't going to randomly start cheering for Penn State if you went to these other schools.
Or it's they're banking on either people rooting for Penn State or actively rooting against.
I feel like, though, if your team doesn't have a chance to even compete with them, you're just not going to care. It's kind of like my XFL, USFL arguments. Like, yeah, you're picking teams, but you're alienating over half the country because you only have eight teams. How is someone like in North Dakota, like they're already alienated from the NFL, right? But there's a team that's like kind of semi-close to them that's marketed as their team. They're the ones that they get to see on TV or whatever. For the USFL, you don't have that at all. Like you're not going into Walmart and seeing gear from a USFL team like you do an NFL team, right?
Yeah.
You go to like a Walmart or a Target and they go to the team section, you'll see whatever the local college is and then whatever the local NFL team or whatever is. So having that type of deal to you, like Pittsburgh market will just be flooded with Penn State stuff. And maybe at that point, Penn State just becomes that large of a system that everyone in Pennsylvania just goes to Penn State. So my fears won't matter. Pitt will just become more of like a private type school and shrink smaller. I don't know. I really don't. Like, I feel like it's going to be hard. Like if you're a kid that went to a school that's like a little bit lower, right, and you're left behind, you're just supposed to like cheer for the cheer against your team and then like what, pick their rival? Like, let's say you're a Cincinnati fan. You're watching your team grow up, make the playoffs, get more competitive, jump up into conferences. You're donating money, like you're getting invested, and then 10 years later, they're like, you know what? Not invited. Sorry, you're Ohio State fans now. Like, wouldn't that just sour you on the entire thing?
Yes. It's
like, no, I'm just gonna be a Cincinnati fan. Like, I'm not gonna be an Ohio State fan ever. I'll cheer against them, but I'm not gonna watch them. Like, you can say like, yeah, I hate them. It's like if people were like, yeah, I hate the Cowboys. Like, do you watch every Cowboy game? Some people do. I get that. But most people are just like, nah, I don't like them. Why would I watch that? Like, it's like people, same with like video games. People are like, yeah, I hate that game. I put 200 hours into it. It's like, then why are you playing it? Like the same thing. Like, yeah, I really hate baseball, but I'm on three teams. Like, okay, I guess you don't hate it. I guess you don't hate it if you're on three summer baseball teams. That's my loop back to our beginning convo to end the show. I had friends that were like, man, I really hate playing baseball, but yet they would be on like three teams. And it's like, man, you're in college. Why are you even playing anymore if you hate the game? You could just walk away at any point. No one's going to come in and say like, you know what? You didn't play enough baseball. can't hire you for this job. Like, at some point, that's never going to happen. But I don't think, like, playing sports, like, even in an interview, it might, like, help you a little bit or something. But, like, in long-term, like, life-type stuff, if you're not making NIL money or whatever these days, playing sports is great to, like, meet friends or whatever. But at some point, everyone has to hang it up. Because I still have people that are like, yeah, oh, man, I really missed, like, I could have went to a once-in-a-lifetime, like, concert to see, like, my favorite band. They broke up the next year, but instead I had a summer league game I just couldn't miss. It's like, you can play summer league at any time. Like, you can go out, you should, like, do other experiences, you know? Like, why are you still playing summer league baseball or football or whatever, basketball, 7 days a week? Right? It makes zero sense to me. Same with, like, kids playing youth sports. Like, have a little bit of life. Work-life balance, they call it, but like more of like a life-sports balance, because you're going to burn out, man. That's my ending thought. You have anything you want to add? I don't have anything for the final bell.
I think you just don't want to put kids in a situation where they're having to pick between like their sport and having a social life. Because in the end, like, they're gonna remember that time with their friends. And they may not remember all the stuff with that sport and going to all the practices and doing that stuff. And I think if they're not fully invested into it, I think it's a big sacrifice for them to make. So I think that you have to find that balance.
Some of my good memories from sports, like even when my dad coached, were not like anything related to the games themselves. It was more like something funny that happened after, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember we like went for pizza and we did this. It's like, you know, baseball had nothing to do with that. Like, you could take the baseball completely out of it and just say, like, yeah, remember that one day we went for pizza? Like, oh, the story would be the exact same. It just started because we were at a game and then we went for pizza. But if we would have just said, hey, Dad, can we go out with my buddy and go get pizza? Like, it would have been the same exact scenario. So I think that's the one thing that gets me. It's like, yeah, you can do this or that. And I'm not, like, saying I'm against, like, sports or whatever, but to me, I still think at some point, and some of this is more like for like adults too, because like I still have friends and people I know that are like so into playing like adult soccer or whatever, or basketball, that they're not going out with like other friends or whatever. And at some point, you're the old guy out there. It's like, why are you still out there? Everyone else playing on your team is 22. You're in your 30s, man. You play 2 minutes a game. Like, they don't need you at all. But, like, you can't come do so-and-so, like, whatever. It's like, all right, like, we get it. You want to play, you want to stay in shape or whatever, but make those choices. And then, who knows, maybe sports are it. Maybe they're not. But that's all I have for today. Thanks for listening. Go to southboundsports.com. Check us out if you want to argue with me. Let me know. I know Twitter stuff has been kind of slowed back down, but I think their Twitter stuff is kind of weird. I think I'm still auto-posting. Maybe it's not even auto-posting anymore, so I should check that out. But yeah, if you're looking for our stuff, go to southboundsports.com. That's the best way to look for it, and we will see you next week.